Atari announces an Intellivision retro console that will actually ship. Plus, I'd like to introduce you to the unique experience Blippo Plus. Tonight is October 19th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Amico. SSJ went under Matt and chat said Amico. What? That's not what we're talking about. That's hogwash. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a not Amico edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. For joining us here in chat, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to take this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly, but we are a podcast, and so you can also join us on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord can get you in to that server, and you can talk back. We actually do have a little bit of a conversation that we're going to have here on the show with somebody who listens on the podcast, and I've already given the answers in the Discord, but I figured it's a good conversation to have for everybody else, and or suggest stories for future episodes. I'm not going to take all of them, but I do take a lot of them. So, so come join us there, and that would be awesome. First, I will say as a follow up to the non-gaming stuff, and I don't think this is a drinking game. But I did get tickets to go see Rush. I'm pointing like there's not a soccer sports thing behind me where the Rush stuff was. I am. So I get to go to New York for the first time. I'm going to Madison Square Garden in July of next year. So I finally get to go to New York. I'll go to the Nintendo store and stuff. And I was able to get in with the normal presale. I didn't pay inflated prices or anything like that. They're pricey tickets. It was, it's not the thousands of dollars that you're seeing. I got lucky. I joined the trick was to join the Ticketmaster waiting room right when it opens, which was 30 minutes before. And, so I was very early in the queue. So I actually had my choice of tickets all through the venue, because I was very early. I think there were only like 1,000 people in front of me. So I had a good choice. But if you didn't join the queue until like noon, then there were like 200,000 people in front of you for, 30,000 seats. Whatever. So that's going to be going on then. I also do want to say that Michigan said, and I hope it's okay to kind of repeat this, but apparently one of our viewers is not doing too well right now. So hopefully he gets better. Dark Tessia, we're, all thinking about you. Thanks for sharing that. And if you want, I'm not going to bore the podcast audience with all that stuff, but I did see that message. So I do send my love and thoughts and hope everything turns out just fine. So with that said, we're going to transition in. I'm actually kind of excited because this episode tonight, I tried to keep out a lot of the what we would normally call hogwash, because I've been talking a lot about like stories that suck recently, because that's what's mostly been in the gaming industry. It's really weird. This is not what it was like in 2005 when I started doing this, but I wanted to talk a little bit about some stuff that I like as well. And not just be negative Bobby over here, even though I know the hogwash meme in the intro and everything. But first, I wanted to talk about, you know, VR and virtual reality, because we had this conversation on our Discord. And this is actually a conversation that MAME fans started up in our Discord. Unfortunately, people have other things to do on Sunday nights. That's awesome. So MAME fan can't be here in person, which I totally respect. That's why we have the podcast and that's why we have the Discord. But what he was asking was actually some very, and information he was given based on stuff we were talking about in a previous episode is actually stuff that's really helpful to know. And he said he was behind on the podcast again, which is fine. Totally fine. You know, the news, you get to go back and listen and be like, Bobby was wrong about that when he said he predicted something. You know, that's the fun part about going back. I can act like I'm right here, and then I just hope nobody fact checks me from like a month ago. But we were talking about the Virtual Boy. So remember, Nintendo announced that they were going to be releasing Virtual Boy emulation on the Switch and the Switch 2, and there was a $100 plastic device that you could put your Switch or your Switch 2 in to actually play them in VR with stereoscopic vision, just like the way it was before. And I was actually making the point of, like, this is great for preservation of the experience, which not everybody cares about. They care about game preservation, but not necessarily the preservation of the experience. They don't want to have to look into the a replica of the original Virtual Boy when we have actual VR headsets that are actually easier to wear and less strenuous to wear and look into, which I get. But I was like, I will probably still get it just because I don't have a real Virtual Boy. I've tried. I can't get a working Virtual Boy. I would love to have one, but I can't. And so I was like, I will still get it. And I was also musing that because there's also a cardboard version of this coming out, I have the Nintendo Labo VR kit and I still have my OG Nintendo Switch that works just fine in it. Will that work? Maybe I don't need to buy anything. I just have to use my OG Switch, which I still own, you know, put that in there, and that's how I can play the Virtual Boy games. But what he was telling me is that he, MAME fan, said that these are two VR Virtual Boy emulators, one for the Quest, the Meta Quest series, and one for PC. No need for the Nintendo product if you have a compatible headset. Also, no waiting on game releases. And so what he had sent over, and I'm going to repeat these for the audience. He sent over Virtual Boy Go. For the Quest line. So that is what you can put on your Quest. You do have to sideload it. You can't get it from the Quest store, but you can sideload things onto the Quest headset. And then there was VBGen, and there's an OVR fork of VBGen. I believe VBGen is just an actual like PC emulator for Virtual Boy. And then there was an OVR fork, which is for Oculus VR. That's kind of important. Because I did go kind of looking for this and I had heard of that before, but it's called OVR because it was made 9 years ago for the Oculus Rift. It has since been abandoned. Now, there is an Oculus Rift back there, but I actually don't have it installed on this new gaming PC because I never use the Rift anymore. And VBGen, this since it's 9 years old, it is still a 32-bit executable. And as you have probably learned over time with just general Windows applications and even Mac applications, 64-bit or bust. And they have started blocking the execution of 32-bit executables like this 9-year-old Virtual Boy emulator that did it for VR. Nobody's done anything about this. And one person has. One person has what's called forking, and I know that sounds dirty, but basically taken that code from 9 years ago that's been abandoned, made their own source code repository. It's called forking it. You're going down a fork in the road, and they're just making taking another path. And they updated it to be like a 64-bit or whatever, but it is still an Oculus application. And I don't think he's made it 64-bit. I think he has, but it's still an Oculus application, which means I have a Valve Index, and I use Steam VR. And if it worked with Steam VR, perfect, fine, no problem. Absolutely no problem. Would work just great. But since it's Oculus, you have to use a program called Revive, which I did have at one point. I had it on my old computer, and I think I even paid for it, so I got to go find if I can get the latest version. I do believe I had that. And that's how you could play Oculus VR games on a Valve Index, which I did for some of the PC titles. And Esther Nomad says, this seems like a lot of work to get a Virtual Boy emulator on a new headset, just for all the ironies. And yes, like, I am lazy. That is why I still have not hacked any of the classic consoles that I have. I have not hacked a single one of them. I have not hacked my 3DS. I have not done, and Pod Culture is already typing, but it's so easy to do. And I understand it is easy. I understand. All you got to do is you plug the USB cable into your NES Classic, and you run this one program, and it flashes it, and boom. But I don't care. Like, I understand. Just because it's easy doesn't mean I'm going to do it. So, and that is actually, that is not an opinion that most people have. I am probably in the minority. And Esther Matt says, I should have hacked my PS1 Mini, which is garbage, but I'm lazy. Same. Like, I've got a PlayStation Classic back there, whatever they called theirs. I can't see it. It's a little dark back there. And see, and Pod Culture did just say, it is easy. I knew he was typing it, and it just came through in chat. So, see, I know my audience. But yeah, no, I'm positive it's easy. I'm positive it's safe. I'm positive that it's really difficult to screw up, because you can brick these things and then they become a paperweight. I just don't care to. So I will probably still be the problem and go buy that $100 plastic thing so I can have it as a, you know, conversation piece. And then I can put my Switch 2 in it and, you know, play Virtual Boy games like for like 10 minutes and be like, okay, never doing that again. And you know what? I am in a position where I can do that. Now, MameFan did ask another question, because it was something that I had mentioned kind of half on the podcast. Is curious of what I thought about the Meta Quest 3 headset, its lenses, and what games I played under other than Pinball Effects VR, and did I do any PC use? So the reason he's asking this question is because I finally let y'all know I had a Meta Quest 3 here in the house for several months. Not too many months. I think it was, I want to say 3 months, 2-3 months through work. I switched jobs, and when I left that job, I gave them back their Meta Quest 3. They had a Meta Quest 3. They had the, what is it the enhanced? It's the head strap that actually has like the battery pack in it. So it's instead of the cloth head strap that comes with the Quest 3, it was kind of the enhanced with the additional battery and things like that. And it had that, and then like the official, like, big, nice carrying case. So, I mean, they didn't spare any expense. And the reason I had it was because I was developing actually an augmented reality demo for a conference, a trade show, which went over really well. And then I left the company literally a week after that conference. So they have that code now. I don't know what they're going to do with it. They're obviously not going to talk to me about it. The Elite head strap is what said Monkey's Love. Yeah, so I had the Elite head strap for the Quest 3. And he was asking what I did with it. Now, since it was company property, I did not use it that much for recreational use. I did put stuff on it. Like, it had my Oculus account on it, or my Meta account, excuse me, which is not tied to my Facebook, but it did have my old Oculus purchases. So I had the Vader Immortal series from the Oculus Rift, and those carried over to the Quest. And they're in my account and everything. I did buy the Pinball Effects VR, and so I could try it, because I wanted to see how the augmented reality part worked on the Quest. So it also technically was like research, because you can actually put the pinball tables in augmented reality in your room, and you know, you play them, you stand over them and play them, which was kind of cool. But I was, since I was developing on PC, yes, I was using the AirLink functionality, which worked well once I got rid of my signal repeaters in my mesh network. Actually, I didn't have a real mesh. It was, I had extenders. I had a range extender. And the Quest, even though literally my Wi-Fi router, I can touch it from where I am sitting right now, and this is where I was wearing the Quest, it was connecting to the extender downstairs, so I was getting, it was lagging, it was terrible, it was doing a headache. So I had to unplug all my extenders in the house, and then the Quest 3 actually worked fine with AirLink, and I was able to do things through SteamVR, or, you know, anything that used OpenVR. It became the OpenVR runtime and things like that. So I think I did load VR chat once into it, not the Quest version, but the PC version. I did play American Truck Simulator once in it, which is my go-to VR game. That's my guilty pleasure, is just driving around in a truck and, you know, have music on or whatever, and just, you know, because I enjoy road trips. I hate traffic, but I enjoy road trips. I'm weird like that. And it was fine. And the lenses were great. It looked great. It did look a little bit better than my Valve Index, but I gotta say, I handed that Quest 3 back, and I have not really had the need to go out and buy my own Quest 3. Because obviously, I can, if I'm going to buy a $100 Virtual Boy, I obviously can go out and get a Quest 3. There's no financial thing stopping me from doing it. But I haven't really needed to. Semantic 11 says, for some reason, my Quest 3S, and I had the Quest 3. I didn't have the Quest 3S. Like, this was like the full-blown, top-of-the-line one. The Quest, not the Pro. It was just the regular Quest 3, not the Quest 3 Pro. But the Quest, for ZenMonkey 11, the Quest 3S is laggy with the wire and without the wire, but my Quest 2 works super well without with the wire. I didn't have the wire. Like, I was strictly doing the AirLink because he did not purchase, the company did not purchase the $80 cable that is that you would need, and I was not going to purchase it. So it had to be the AirLink solution because that's what I had. So, but it worked fine. And the only thing it didn't like is because when I was developing, because unfortunately, when you're doing augmented reality development on the Quest, and you are dealing with, and essentially what we were doing, I'm going to try to give a very high level broad, because I don't want to like reveal the company or the industry, but they, Meta finally gave access, developer access to the cameras, the front-facing cameras on the Quest, which was not something you had access to before February of this year. And the reason we use that is that we had a QR code on something. I'm going to leave it at something. We had a QR code, and we wanted something that could read that QR code and spawn virtual objects around that code, basically. And the idea was, theoretically, eventually it would use its Wi-Fi to connect to our servers to get information about that thing. Like, that QR code would be placed there. It was in a private area, so it's not for the public. But somebody could come up and they could see real-time updates about that thing, because it was under construction. I'll put that little context in there. It's a thing that's under construction. There would be a QR code on it. Somebody would come up with augmented reality glasses. Our company really wanted to use the Meta Ray-Bans for this, but you can't develop on the Ray-Bans, and you can't even easily hack them to develop, which was actually the first thing I was charged with doing. And I'm like, I'm not that good. I'm good, but I'm not that good. But to do that, you need access to the cameras, and they did not give that until they canceled the Quest 3 Pro line, and they gave and it's the same development system that Android phones use. It's literally webcam texture, if you know anything about Android development. They gave access to that. So we could go now, scan, and like, there, I had a QR code reader in there, and then we were able to do stuff. So you can't do that in the simulator. So I could not develop like completely on my PC like I could a VR game for the Quest. For a VR game for the Quest, if you're not using any augmented reality stuff, you can literally like develop it on a PC and never put on the headset until you actually want to try it on a headset. Can't do that with augmented reality. But I was like using the Air Link to test some things that were not related to reading the QR code. So I was putting it on and off, and that would confuse because the Wi-Fi shuts off after like 5 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that. So if you put down, the Wi-Fi goes away and then it tries to reconnect. And so you lose all your connections and everything. So anyway, long-winded way of saying, yes, I got to use the Quest 3. I used it a lot, but I didn't play that many games on it. What I did play was great, but I went back to my Valve Index, and yes, it was a little more blurry. The resolution was a little bit less, but it didn't make anything unplayable. Like, I wasn't too spoiled by the Quest 3 experience that I need to go up and get it. However, I do have a PlayStation VR 2 downstairs, and I'm and I'm probably going to wind up getting the PC adapter and a Bluetooth dongle because I don't have Bluetooth on my PC. So if you have a PlayStation VR 2 and you want to get it on your PC, the PC adapter is kind of like a little breakout box. And it's a breakout box that plugs into USB on your motherboard. It plugs into a DisplayPort output, or so on your video card. So you need a spare DisplayPort, which my Valve Index is currently plugged into a DisplayPort. So I just take that out and put this in. But your computer also needs Bluetooth, and it needs to have a Bluetooth antenna that can reach your play space because that's how the controllers talk. With the Valve Index, the Bluetooth is actually in the headset, and that's how it communicates with everything. So the receiver is actually very close to your controllers. But for the PSVR 2, the Bluetooth is actually your PC. And I bought a motherboard when I built this PC that had no Wi-Fi and no Bluetooth on it. So I don't have Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on this motherboard, so I need to go get a Bluetooth dongle. Mame Fan linked the one that works really well with the PlayStation VR 2 on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. So there's my answers to the question. So Quest 3, it is great. If somebody was getting a VR headset today and asked me what they should get, I would say the Quest 3. I wouldn't say the Quest 3S, really. I would say the Quest 3, especially if they want to play PC VR games. I would say the Quest 3 all day long. That's what I would tell people. I don't need to upgrade to it right now. Long-winded answer, but, you know, that stuff's more fun to talk about than layoffs, don't you think? Let me introduce you to something, though. I want to introduce you, and it's not a game. I keep calling it a game. I'm gonna say it's a game again, and it's not. This is an artful experience that is now available on Steam and the Nintendo Switch. I have completed the experience. It took about 4 to 5 hours. It is a $15 experience, I believe. That's how much it costs. If you have a Playdate console and you have the season pass, it is part of season 2. It is pretty much the same thing. But the game, the product, let's do it that way, shall we? The product is called Blippo Plus. And what this is a full motion video experience. It started on the Playdate. And the Playdate is the little yellow console that has the crank on the side. But they released in color the entire experience on Steam and on Nintendo Switch. The conceit of this is it is a 10-week experience on Playdate. But you go through the 10 weeks as you go through. That is mimicking flipping through channels that are all public access in the 1980s. That is how it is presented at the beginning. That is so burying the lead on what makes this great. Because if you're going to sit there and go, well, I mean, it's just like random public access style stuff, and I'm flipping through channels, why do I care? So why this was really interesting is because on the playdate, on the playdate, they basically would have the first week, and it's basically there are like six or seven channels that have five programs of 1 minute each. Okay? And you would go through on the playdate, and they were actually streamed, so they weren't on the playdate, so they actually had a server, and they still do because they're rerunning the 10 weeks. There would be, and you would go through and you would see all of the content. And what you start learning is that there actually is a 10-week long story that ties a lot of things together. On the Switch and the Steam version, basically once you watch enough of a week, it will tell you, oh, hey, there's a new packet of episodes to download. Click here to download it. And then it downloads that packet. And then you experience the next week. So it took me about 4 to 5 hours to get through all of this. But there is no game. All you do is you're flipping channels. And the only kind of game element is if you stay on a week for too long, you will start experiencing signal loss. So you have to go into the settings and go to the tuner calibration and like play with some dials until they turn to a check mark, and then you hit okay, and then you're done. That is like the only like game element of this whole thing. And it's not even that much, but I will explain kind of what's going on. So in the first week, you are seeing this. It's not quite human. It's not quite Earth. They call them, they're from the planet Blip. And the planet Blip is this Earth-like planet with humans that are, it's kind of like a one nation. Like it's presented as like there's only one nation on the entire planet. Everybody is part of this one single nation or whatever. There are some differences, but for the most part, they're Earth. And they learn and they talk about how suddenly a bunch of new PDs registered existence, their existence. They call PD is their portable television. They call them PDs. They look like playdates. So like in their universe, the playdate is actually a TV. And on what there's a bunch of public access television networks, public access style, but it's a little bunch of TV networks and TV shows that broadcast to PDs, and that is how their civilization consumes media. And they realize that all these PDs in week one, they talk about, well, we just got a thing about all these PDs, and then they discover there is a space anomaly in orbit. And they call it the bend. There is a bend in the universe. It's essentially a wormhole. And there is a planet on the other side of this bend that they can send television content, PD content through. And that is us. That is planet Earth. So the conceit is this is another planet. We are receiving their transmissions from through this space anomaly, because the space anomaly showed up and we also had PDs. We have playdates. And so week one, they're just discovering that. Week two, and then as time goes on, they start like learning more about it. They start like talking about we're going to send people through the bend to meet the aliens. They have shows that talk about what do you think the aliens are like, because it's a one-way communication. They don't know anything about us. They're not receiving any content from us. And then, you know, things tie together. So on the surface, it looks like, oh, it's just a bunch of public access shows, but they all reference each other because there's like a show that actually interviews the actors on the other shows. So it's like you have your actor that's portraying somebody who is an actor portraying somebody. They have one of the shows is a Doctor Who like spinoff, except the Doctor looks like a Klingon with the head with the forehead, and he serves drinks, and it's a bar, but it's a little bar that goes through space and time, And like they actually interviewed the actor who plays the Werf, W-E-R-F, with the Klingon headspace, but he doesn't have the Klingon headspace in the interview. But there's that. There's a show that's just teens, and it's very much like how you would expect a teen takeover show would be in the 80s, especially. And they become central to the story by week 8, 9, and 10. So you're seeing a lot of things, and you're learning about them in week one. And then as the weeks go by, everything gets intertwined. All the shows get intertwined. They're all reacting to the news of what happens, how sending the people into the bend went, and then the reaction to, you know, how that fell out. And, you know, there's an overarching story, and it's actually kind of neat. It is more than just flipping through channels watching public access. And Esther and Matt says, the whole experience is created, written, and partially developed by this band named Yacht, a Portland synth pop band. And there is a lot of that synth pop music in it. There's actually even one show that is basically just a new song every week and people dancing to it. And it's synth pop, and it's from that band Yacht. And even it is like inspired by recent events. So they made a song that's inspired by recent events. And you even learn that, you know, one of the climax things you don't realize until later, they're like, oh, the song I heard three weeks ago or three packets ago actually was for this. And so like it's really beautiful how they tie a lot of things together. A lot of things that you don't think have any relation to each other wind up actually having a relation. So I was mesmerized by this. It is cheesy public access. It is very much, looks like it was public access in the 80s. They even, I believe, used retro cameras to shoot it. They shot this actually during the pandemic as well, right after. I think it was 2021 is when they actually filmed all the FMV here. But they used like retro equipment with like black screens in back. So it even looks like old style cable access because they used that technology. So I'm going to actually say, if you've ever done Meow Wolf, a Meow Wolf installation, I'm going to say stuff like, you know, there's one in Las Vegas, there's one in Denver, there's one in, there's some one in Texas. It's not as interactive as Meow Wolf, but it really feels like it's a Meow Wolf installation where there's more going on than you think. It was very enjoyable if you look at it from that way. Now, at a Meow Wolf installation like Omega Mart in Las Vegas, it's more interactive. You have to do things to uncover the mystery. Here, they are feeding the mystery to you. And then I want to watch the next week. So, and Zen Monkey 11 says, I grew up on public access TV in the 80s and 90s here in New York. I get the look totally. And that is what they are going for. And the acting is exactly what you would expect from public access. It is all like, from what I understand, like local actors. It's from, I think, in LA is where they shot, because a lot of the actors are like theater actors in LA when they do that stuff. I will say, a blast from the past, I was looking in the credits, and one of like the station identifiers peoples is Tay Zonday, the Chocolate Rain guy. That's like the biggest name that's part of this. So and I didn't know that until the credits at the very end. I'm like, Tay Zonday? But it's a voiceover role, so you never see Tay Zonday. But yeah, so it's called Blippo Plus. Unlike Apple TV, they are keeping the plus in their name. And it is about $15. It just came out in color. Or it is on the Playdate. It is part of Playdate Season 2. But on the Playdate version, it's streaming, so you only get one. You have to play for like 10 weeks. And on this, you just go to the next packet. There is also one of the things that they did is something that's probably more for the European people, because I kind of remember this. There was a way on European televisions to have kind of a computer system. and it was like an 80 by 25 thing, and they actually use this here as kind of an electronic thing. So there, it's like an electronic BBS, and they've got different channels of things in its text, and they actually update that every 10 weeks, and they're reacting to programs they're watching on TV or the current events and speculating on the current events and talking about them. So it's even got that, which is not something really we had in America. We didn't have that system, and I don't remember what it was called. I used it when I was in Germany for work 20 years ago. I remember this is like really cool, but it was all in German. I didn't know what they were saying. But they actually use a Commodore 64 for one of the shows. They, in like week three, they create a channel to introduce the aliens to their culture. And one of the things uses like a Commodore 64 animation for a minute to explain, like, this is what this is. This is what this is. So you kind of understand a little bit of what they're talking about, because they're mostly speaking English, except they will use different terms, different words for things. Like coffee is called Merc, but beer is called beer. And whiskey is called whiskey, and brandy is called brandy, but coffee is called Merc. So it's like that. And it's like I said, it's a full motion video game. There's no game to it really, other than you flip channels, and that's it. But it is a very unique experience that is not hogwash, and I think you should go fully support. It is currently available on Steam and on Nintendo Switch, and it works on both the Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo Switch 2. Takes a little bit longer to load on the Nintendo Switch 1 than it does on the Switch 2, but that's only in the very beginning. Once you're in, you're in, and then it works fine. They even have like the little TV guide thing that scrolls through, and there's actually like even voiceover of that where they talk about like, here's the programs you can find. Check out Boredome on this and blah blah. You know, so it's. It's a trip. I like Blippo Plus. Have you noticed? You want to know something else that I like? And it's because I grew up with Intellivision. And, you know, I have put my money where my mouth is and gotten burned by somebody saying, you know, hey, we're going to have an Intellivision console. It's going to come out. And it's going to remind you of a lot of the stuff that Intellivision is doing and has done in the past. And you're going to love it. And I will never see that $100 again. So obviously I'm going to go, you know, buy a Virtual Boy plastic thing for my Nintendo Switch next year for $100. Obviously, I'm probably not a good barometer of what you should spend $100 on. But Intellivision's logo and brand and a lot of the old games were sold to Atari earlier this year. So the company now called Amico Entertainment could stay in business. Atari has announced the Intellivision Spirit. The Intellivision Spirit is a yet another plug-and-play console. This one has 45 games from the Intellivision. It is coming out in December, and Atari has a track record of releasing their consoles. Their consoles have come out. I have purchased the Atari 2600 Plus, which you could use actual game cartridges in it. But what they are putting in here is Atari is releasing an Intellivision that looks like an Intellivision. It has 45 games on it. It has HDMI out. It has wireless controllers. They've even brought out new overlays that you put in the controllers. Engadget reports that Atari just revealed the Intellivision Spirit. And beyond aesthetics, the console includes plenty of newfangled bells and whistles. The controllers are wireless, which is a technology that didn't quite exist in the 1980s, and it connects via HDMI. It also includes 45 built-in games and plenty of sports and racing titles. And other games include like Boulder Dash and Space Armada. And you can get that all the unique overlays that you physically put on the controller, just like we did back in the 80s. So it cost $150. Pre-orders are available right now, and shipments start going out on December 5th. It is actually going to come out. So Pog Culture says, wonder if other game if it can have other games added like other minis. And I'm going to probably say yes. And it probably, I'm going to say, is probably going to be pretty easy. And then I'm going to say, I'm not going to do it because I'm lazy. But you can find it now. It is on Atari.com. I'm debating. And the reason I am debating if I get this or if I wait, because I'm going to wonder if they are going to make an Intellivision Spirit Plus, which maybe has those built-in games, but it also has a cartridge port, because I have a lot of my old Intellivision cartridges. I literally have the cartridge of Frog Bog that I had, which was my favorite game when I was 4 years old, because obviously I'm 29. I actually have that cartridge, and I know it's mine because I accidentally ripped the label off of it. So there's like two pieces of scotch tape where I taped the label back on when I was like 5 or 6 years old. Arts and crafts. So I would, I'm wondering if I wait to get the Plus that plays the old cartridges like the Atari 2600 Plus does. And SJR Nomad says, it's either this or more Hallmark ornaments. And yes, Hallmark wants my money. The new Hallmark ornaments, Hallmark knows what geeks want, and they will happily take your money. These are also in the Discord. They're a little bit back in the general channel. The Hallmark ornament, the console ornament this time around is the Xbox 360. No, I don't know if it red rings. We haven't picked it up yet. And then also they have the Star Trek sit-down arcade cabinet is one of the ornaments as well this year. So I will be getting both of those because I am the problem because I like this stuff. And I know I'm supposed to hate everything. That's how this works. But I would get more views if I hated everything because I would, rally against them. But you know what? I wanted to talk about stuff I liked for once. Dang it. And with that, we're going to take a quick music break. And then we will come back and hopefully talk about more stuff I like. I don't know. We'll figure that out. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey guys, I'm Jessie, and when I'm not voicing Linda Lash and Mango Tango from Double Dragon Neon, I'm participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. Check out my new project, New Ren.
I wish I could say that New Ren came out. It never did. But Double Dragon Neon did. That was Jesse Seeley, voice actor, who's worked on a lot of games and sang and stuff. So, so welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper, you can have vaporware, I guess. That's a thing. All you got to do is send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video with just your voice, and I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it, saying that you're coming back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. There was a question in the chat, which we talked about a little bit last week, and it's about Tron Ares. I am a huge Tron fan. I bought out the gift shop at Magic Kingdom when I went and rode the Tron ride last year. Basically bought almost everything they had in there, including the crappy, it was a cool experience to make the action figure, but the action figure, could have been better. But, so I'm a huge fan of the Tron franchise. And Esher Man asks, are you going to see Tron Ares or wait to see it at home? Haven't decided yet. I do know that it is better than people think it is, but it's not as good as it could have been. And, I do have a very nice setup at home to be able to watch it. I don't have an IMAX setup, but I don't have any real IMAX screens around me. They're all LIMAX. They're a single laser instead of double laser projection. So it's not even a true IMAX experience. It's just a big screen. But we haven't decided. We do have a theater that's near us that has cheaper tickets on Tuesday nights, so we may do that at some point. I'm not rushing to go see it. I preferred it when it was mostly in the grid. I don't like I never really connected with the real world parts of Tron and Tron Legacy. I love both those movies. I actually like Tron Legacy a lot. And this is mostly in the real world or at least from the previews. And I'm like, that it doesn't excite me as much. Let me put it to you that way. Well, am I going to see it? Yes, I'm absolutely going to see it. But will I see it on Disney Plus in my very nice home theater with my Dolby Atmos and my 4K projection screen, most likely. And Esther DeMath says, I agree, it's better than what the critics say it is, which I'm not surprised. That's a normal thing for Tron. All the movies are better than the critics ever said, because Tron Legacy was also panned by critics. And the original Tron was panned by critics. And so I would not be surprised that Tron Ares is also panned by critics, but it just didn't grab me as much. The soundtrack is awesome, but yeah, it could have been better. So Tiger Claw says, judging from the box office, it might be years before we see another Tron movie again. And, you know, I know I am part of the problem. That's what we're learning tonight. Bobby Blackwolf is part of the problem and should be a better person. And I should be a better person, but not about this. But I think that the problem with Tron is that it is a niche property that has different things that appeal to different people. So there's no one part of Tron that the creators can really focus on and do right. And there's so many hands in the pot and stuff, and it's not a story that's easy to tell today. And S. Jared and Matt says, I would imagine a series on streaming would make more sense at this point. Well, they had Tron Uprising, which was on Disney XD. It was animated. Was fantastic. And it even had Bruce Boxleitner in it, because even though he's old, his voice is still good, and he didn't have to do any of the actual moving around. And it was fantastic, but it was canceled after one season because people weren't interested. So, yeah. So that's how far I'm going to get into the Tron Ares stuff. We talked about it, actually. I asked Rob last week if he was going to go see it, because he has it. We both have Tron arcade cabinets. His is in his background. Mine's not. But we're huge fans of the franchise as well. So speaking of that, coming up next, there are only 5 episodes left of Orange Lounge Radio. There will be no OLR next week, but November 23rd is the final episode of Orange Lounge Radio, as announced 2 weeks ago. So we're, you know, for only 5 more times of me talking to Rob at the end of the show here. But we like to check in with them to see what they're going to be talking about here during the final stage of Orange Lounge Radio after 23 years on the air. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing well. Have you seen, since I was just talking about Tron Ares, have you seen Tron Ares? Did you see it this week?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
I haven't either.
Many people know I have another hobby where I host horror-related shows and things like that, and I had a lot going on this weekend in that department. We had a pretty major show last night, which was great, but long story short, no. But yeah. I was actually just talking to Alan about it, because I was like, if we don't see it this week, we probably won't get to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if we can make it happen this week.
Yeah. I'm debating on, you know, if I go see it or not in the theaters, because I have a nice theater at home, too, which I am very
really
fortunate.
Do.
I'm fortunate about that. You know, if the movie, if I wasn't as turned off by the premise, I would want my monies to go towards the box office. But it's just, it didn't grab me.
And there comes a point when it's like, I kind of resent, like, I need to go see something to support the franchise because I'm a fan, when the franchise is making decisions I don't like.
Yeah.
It's literally voting with your wallet. However, that being said, that's why I didn't go opening weekend. But that being said, I've had enough friends that I trust that have all had a pretty consistent opinion that it's worth your time.
Yeah.
So, sure, and that in mind, fine, I'll check it out.
And I do want to say, because I've mentioned a couple times, yes, I've got this like really nice theater in my basement and stuff. I am not against going to see movies in the theater. I did go see Superman, the latest one, in the theater. Like, I went to my local theater and I watched it, even though I could probably wait for it to streaming. I watched it in the theater, even though I've got a really nice theater at home. So I'm not against going to the movie theater to go watch a movie.
Oh, yeah, me neither. And ironically, you know, a lot of my hobby ends up in the theater, but it's old movies.
Yeah.
I think the last, like, new movie I saw in the theater, I think, was Wicked.
Yeah.
And we're planning on going to see Wicked for good when it comes out.
And that I waited to watch at home.
because I didn't want, because there's the RNG element of both Wicked, and also we haven't watched Minecraft yet, although we do have the streaming service that the Minecraft movie is on, so we could watch it. But I didn't want the RNG of being in the theater with the theater kids who had to sing along. And it's the same reason we didn't go to Minecraft, because that's RNG. Are you going to have an audience that's there to watch the movie, or are you going to have, you want to have an audience that wants to throw things around the theater and have a good time?
So with Wicked, I kind of lucked out because, well, not lucked out, but I had COVID when the movie came out. That's not lucky. But it had the side effect of, it was like a good 3 weeks that movie was out until we saw it. And by that point, all the, you know, theater kids had made their way through the theater. So, yeah. But and we'll probably do the same thing with Wicked for good. We're not going to see it opening weekend, but we'll see it maybe a week or two into the run. Yeah. So
now Tiger Claw is like, it says that Wicked for Good seems more like the Wizard of Oz story. It's just the act two of the play.
So. Yeah, it's you could go look at the plot for Wicked the musical and figure out exactly why there's ties into the Wizard of Oz. That is kind of the whole catch of Wicked, is that it is the story of the Wizard of Oz told from another perspective.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, until they make a game based on it.
Well, you never know. The first movie like ends at the intermission of the play, of the musical.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. But then they added stuff from the books to pad out the time. But anyway. Yeah.
So, in television, there's actually going to be an Intellivision console that's going to ship.
That we'll actually see, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually going to see it, because I actually, the new Atari, I trust them because I have purchased consoles from them, and they have shipped when they've said they shipped, and they have done what they've said they're going to do. I know you were not an Intellivision kid like I was. So what is your reaction? Like, are you interested in the Intellivision spirit, or are you kind of being like, oh, I mean, it's cool, I'm glad we're finally getting something, but, you know, my money's better spent elsewhere?
Well, that's the second part is where I'm at. But the reason why is because I bought an Intellivision like flashback. They did something similar not that long ago. It was only probably maybe it was right before COVID, I think maybe a year or two, they put out like a big Intellivision like redo with the HDMI and the overlays and all that. So I already have one of those. So I'm not into something as much that would play the old cartridges. I don't have any old cartridges. I know you do. I've seen
it. Yeah, but they haven't released that.
But the viewers. Oh, I thought that was part of it. Was the
It's just the flashback thing.
Well, I was going to say the viewers can't see your downstairs and everything you have there, which is really cool. Uh-huh. So,
yeah, but no, the, as far as I can tell, the Spirit only has the 45 built in. And then I guess you got to be like Pod Culture to go in and
hack it
and add more stuff. But then you don't have the overlays. But if you have the overlays like I do from my old games, then, you know, you could use those. But I don't know. And what? I know we kind of laugh at the Amico and all that stuff now. Like it was a bad investment. My $100, I'm never going to see it again.
I don't laugh. Tommy owes me $100.
So, but what they were going to do was, because it had the digital screen, they were going to have the digital overlays on the digital screen, which would mean that you wouldn't have to have those, you know, the overlay cards or anything like that. And that would have been nice. But I think that's why they're only including the 45, because that's all the overlays they can include, because those are physical overlays. But I'm wondering, like, is there going to be an Intellivision Spirit Plus that has the cartridge port? Because Atari has come out and, you know, has now said, we're not afraid to put a cartridge port in our retro consoles. And are they going to do that with Intellivision? I don't know. Because, like, the Atari 2600 Plus works great. It's still an emulator. It is not, you know, an actual Atari on the chip. So, you know, even though you put a cartridge in it, it basically dumps the ROM and then plays it in the emulator. So that's probably what they would do with the Intellivision. And maybe there's a problem with that. Maybe the emulator can't handle all the cartridges that were made for the Intellivision. And that's why they're not. Or maybe this is kind of them saying, if this sells well enough, we'll make another one next year and make all the people that bought the first one buy the second one if they want the cartridge port.
That's part.
Yeah. I like talking about things, and I'm like, oh, this is what they're going to do. I'm Bob Stradamus, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio tonight?
Well, a pretty big game in our world came out this week. Pokemon Legends Z2A came out, and it's generating a little bit of controversy. Mm-hmm. So I've spent several hours on this game, and we're going to be bringing back a very special guest to OLR from over the years. As we are, you know, as you mentioned earlier, winding down on our run, we're going to be able to bring some people back one more time to say goodbye. So we're bringing our resident Pokemon expert onto the show tonight to break down Pokemon Legends Z2A with us.
All right. I look forward to that because I did watch you stream it a little bit, and I haven't gotten it because I saw there were stealth elements, and I'm like, all right, I'm out. I'm done. No stealth. Done.
What part even was that? Oh, yeah, but sneaking up on Pokemon is part of Legends. Like, yeah. there's no easy way for me to put it. It is part of it, but it's also not required.
Yep. All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. 5 episodes left. There is no OLR next week, but I will still be here.
Right.
So
OLR next week just because of a day job conflict, which is one of the reasons why now is a good time. But anyway, we'll get into that another time.
Orange Lounge Radio. But tonight, Orange Lounge Radio, all about Pokemon Legends Z2A with other things, is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can join our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can find us during the week, or at BobbyBlackWolf.com on Blue Sky, Bobby Blackwolf on Instagram. A lot of the pictures that I have on during the breaks here of me doing different things, it's actually on my Instagram now. I uploaded it to the gram. I did it all for the gram. So you can find me there. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this all work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. We did have another hype train to start off the episode. Thank you so much. SSJ1 and Matt for resubscribing. Thank you so much. Mike Deft resubscribed, said 82 and still going. Rob Roberts resubscribed and said, hype. Orange Rye cheered 100 bits. Thank you so much for that. And this Bobby Blackwolf resubscribed and said, I'll contribute to the train this time. Thank you so much, Bobby Blackwolf. I appreciate that a lot. I should be nice to that person. I should. I should also be nice to the listeners and go ahead and hit the button so I only have like 10 more seconds to talk before the show's over. So thank you so much for being here. SJNMS says, Atari getting free ideas like they haven't thought of my ideas before. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.